Today, construction firm failures hit a new peak. There will be consequences. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, last week, yet another building and construction firm hit the wall, collapsing into liquidation, owing $5.7 million, straddling two different states and territories, leading to a domino effect impacting 130 projects and 80 staff members. Cornishnews.com.au, creditors voted to place Cubits, Granny Flats and Home Extensions into liquidation. They'd previously reported that the family-owned business had been placed into administration earlier in the year and had debts of about $5.7 million. Of its substantial debts, $2.6 million of that is owed to 77 tradies. At an administration meeting at the end of last week, creditors voted to liquidate Cubits. The appointed administrators Richard Stone and Brett Lord of insolvency firm RSM Australia have now become the liquidators. The failure of one business has a domino effect on so many people, from staff to clients, suppliers and other stakeholders, Mr. Stone said. Today, these impacts are being compounded by a fragile economy and businesses and households who are doing it tough. Now, this is part of the continuing litany of failure, as data from the Australian Securities and Investments Commission shows the total of 1,245 companies were declared insolvent in May alone. That's 44% higher than the same period in 2023 and 122% higher than in May 2022. It's also the highest number of insolvencies in a single month since ASIC started reporting this data way back in 1999. And there are more to come. Gail Dickerson from KPMG warns that insolvencies probably have not peaked. We haven't hit the peak yet, and how long until we do remains a question, which will be driven by broad economic circumstances, she said. At the moment, it's very evident at the small to medium enterprise level where we are seeing the impact of costs of living, discretionary spending, and inflationary pressures. There is no doubt we're in a tough economic cycle, and some of those pressures will start to shift up to larger companies towards the back end of the year, she said. And likewise, Creditor Watch Chief Executive Patrick Conlon warned that insolvency records were likely to continue to be set each month for the rest of 2024. It's hard to find an industry that hasn't been significantly affected. You've got reduced discretionary spend, you've got inflation, which has pushed up all other input costs. A lot of industries will struggle to increase their pricing levels that make them profitable, he said. The surge of insolvencies was driven by the construction sector, which recorded 313 insolvencies in May. That's a record for this cycle. Accommodation and food service insolvency appointments grew to 177 in May, whereas retail trade appointments jumped by 61% in May to 92. All up, there were 9,996 companies that entered external administration in the 11 months to the 2nd of June 2024. That's up 127% from the same period of 2022. And within that, the construction sector led the way with 2,711 companies entering external administration so far in 23-24, up 140% from the same period in 2022. The high number of construction insolvencies presents another barrier to the Albanese government's target of building 1.2 million homes in 5 years, a level of construction Australia has never achieved before, despite record activity compared with other countries and more than 5% of people working in the sector. Now, more importantly, this is an object lesson for anyone considering contracting with a building and construction firm of any size. What do we make of the thought that the rapid surge that put construction industry insolvencies up more than one third on their total last year is set to ease? Well, that's according to the Commonwealth Bank of Australia's business banking head. The AFR reports that Australia's largest bank watches the Australian Securities Investment Commission's insolvency statistics very closely. That's according to Mike Vasey-Lyle. These show property businesses are suffering from high labour costs and remarkably high input costs, especially those working with fixed price contracts. But while property was still doing it tough, the volume of liquidations or insolvencies was heading in the right direction, he said. We are seeing a very little bit of stability return, he told journalists in a briefing this week. I think that number will probably come off with time. In addition, failures of property companies, which along with cafes and small restaurants accounted for most insolvencies, had not yet hit the bank's profitability, he said. The extent to which those liquidations or insolvencies are resulting in bank losses right now, I'm referencing our third quarter data, is still relatively low, which indicates that the borrowing probably hasn't been in the space, or the borrowing has been elsewhere, he said. CBA holds the biggest share of the business deposits market at 22.35%, extending its lead on NAB after the bank lost a major institutional client back in April. But it still ranks second behind NAB in lending with 18.3% of the market. There are signs that relief is coming, but they are still small. Fresh ASIC figures to the end of May, published on Tuesday, showed insolvencies were at least slowing relative to other sectors of the economy. Construction, though, still makes up the largest single category of insolvencies at 27.1% of the 9,988 year-to-date total. But that is down slightly from the 28.1% figure a year earlier. In addition, non-construction insolvencies have been growing faster than construction since November. While construction insolvencies rose faster year-to-date than overall, insolvencies for the first 4 months of the financial year, they have since been slowing in relation to the rest of the economy. The 2,711 construction insolvencies for the year to the end of May are up almost 35% on the same 11-month period of last year. And the total number of 9,988 insolvencies, by contrast, is up almost 40% on the 7,156 of the same time a year earlier. Now, the construction sector insolvencies, which are happening now, were mostly subcontractors in the business-to-business chain rather than the consumer-facing building businesses, making the failures less visible than in recent years when there were many high-profile builder collapses. That's according to the Housing Industry Association. What we now have is a shadow of the collapses experienced in 2022. The HIA said the insolvencies are typically in subcontractor businesses and therefore have less consumer exposure. It's the ripple effect of cash flow challenges that builders felt for a couple of years that have followed through to subcontractors over the past year. Builders typically came under financial stress when the market was rising as their costs rose faster than the prices they could charge customers, and subcontractors were challenged when the markets were slowing and cash flow was insufficient to keep going, the HIA said. With the roller coaster rise in the past few years, that has caused many businesses more than usual to experience cash flow shortages, they said. But there are now signs of a pickup in housing construction, which could lead to a more normal pattern of work and insolvency, the HIA said. We expect that the volume of new home construction will pick up in the second half of the year. Australia followed the rest of the world into the pandemic. We're going back to having seven different markets. But there's also a race for talent and materials in Australia's construction game, and it appears housing has consistently run in second place to an infrastructure sector that can offer subcontractors higher prices and less risk. Public projects are often tendered on a cost-plus basis, so the contractor bears little risk from rising input prices. That's costing the country new homes, according to figures from the HIA. It shows that cost pressures, particularly in labour and concrete, will delay an expected pickup in the development of high-rise apartment building projects by at least 12 months. Last year, Victoria recorded almost 20,800 housing starts, a measure of home building jobs commenced for apartments, townhouses, and semi-detached homes. As recent as November, the HIA was forecasting 23,600 so-called multi-unit housing starts for the calendar year 2024. It's now cut that back to 22,400, penciling a pickup to 26,000 in 2025. That cycle of investment in multi-unit high-rise is particularly impaired by the constraints, according to the HIA. Similar constraints are playing out across the eastern seaboard that includes Sydney and southeast Queensland, which features the vast bulk of apartments. Australia, of course, needs to build 120,000 units per year with a similar volume of detached houses to reach the 240,000 a year target, which is needed to get to that 1.2 million new homes in 5 years that Albo has set up. But frankly, that's unlikely to happen, as we've discussed. But the bottom line is this: the building and construction sector is under huge pressure. We're going to see that pressure continuing for some time yet. And whilst it might be cascading down to smaller traders and subcontractors, that still has a profound impact on the overall market. At the same time, when governments are pouring more money into public projects too, this is a mess. And this mess is going to continue for some long time. We can expect more failures ahead. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.